Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a real-life medium? Then this is the podcast for you. In this show, you'll learn how to open your heart to spirit, hear adventures I've experienced as an award-winning psychic medium and teacher. Plus, I'm going to give you some psychic information and insight into what the future holds for our increasingly crazy world. Tune in every Friday and get ready to connect to the other side. I'm Jen, and I'll be your guide starting right now.
Okay, what an exciting time. I have been on a hiatus from formerly called the Singing Medium Podcast, and now it's called the Spirit Mentor Podcast. I've been on hiatus for, I would say, maybe a year from doing the podcast, and the podcast is technically 5 years old, so this is a great way to come back. So we have one of my favorite people, Anthony Serino. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Anthony.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited because you and I align in a lot of ways. And I know we're going to have a really good conversation today.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm thrilled to have you on here. We actually were going to have you on before, and then some things kind of jumbled up, but it's always the good time when it happens, right? So it all works out now, but I'm really excited to share you with people. Like we have, like you just, I don't know how to explain it without sounding like a super fan. And it's so funny because when I blew up on TikTok, which you did as well too, actually it has to do with hypnosis, having me blow up on TikTok. I think you might have a similar story with that, but I found you on TikTok. And it's funny because some people will say to me, oh, I'm such a big fan of yours. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's so weird. Like, I'm just a normal person. And I obviously don't have many followers as you do. But, you know, it's sometimes you'll hear that from people, I'm assuming. You hear that from people like, I'm a big fan of yours and kind of give you And it's kind of weird. Like, I'm like, no. Like, I'm not I'm just a regular person, you know. But when I'm talking to you, I know how they feel. So I'm like, yeah. I got Anthony Serino on the podcast. How about them apples? You know, so I think it's funny to see both sides of it kind of thing. And I think it's cool that you get that as well too. But I also know that you're a regular human being. So, but thrilled. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I wanted you to come on here for besides that reason is that I love what you do. So Anthony, I'm going to let you introduce yourself if you want, because you know more about it than I do. But Anthony is basically a hypnotist. More than that, I'm sure there's more to that. But I have personal experience with your work. And so because of that, and I've seen the results, I'm like, everyone needs to know who this guy is, or at least people that know me. So if you're welcome to share whatever you like about hypnosis, and I would also like you to share your story if you can, because I love your story so much too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is everybody that comes to me for help, it's usually, and it's actually always one of two reasons. Yep. Either they're doing things that they know they shouldn't be doing, despite telling themselves not to, or, and this is most often, they're not doing the things they know they need to be doing, even though they tell themselves to do them, right? And so most people don't have an information problem. It's not a strategy issue because they already know the ABCs of being successful. Actually, success is pretty simple. The formula is information times action. Where most people fail is the action portion of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about manifestation a lot, at least I do, is from a practical perspective. And, you know, there's a subset of people who genuinely believe that kind of things are just going to fall out of thin air. And I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum because I know that from a real world perspective, being that we're human beings, like we're having a physical experience, in order to affect the physical world, it's not just a mental, spiritual, an emotional game. It's also a physical game, meaning we have to take action towards our goals. Mm-hmm. And I often say that manifestation is the alchemy of vision, belief, and action. And so what I really help people do with hypnosis specifically and some of these other modalities is I help align their subconscious beliefs with their conscious goals and manifestations, because people do not succeed, or they do not succeed as quickly as they want to, because they have a misalignment between their subconscious influences and their programs and their conscious desires. And so that's where the magic of hypnosis comes in. It allows you to rewire your subconscious brain, your mind, so that you just start doing the things you already know you need to do. And this kind of ties into how I got into hypnosis in the first place. You know, if we go back in time, almost 10 years ago now, I was over 330 pounds. I had negative $400 in my bank account. My whole tagline is I was fat, suicidal, and broke, because I was. And when people ask me, well, why were you suicidal and depressed? I tell them it's not because I was overweight. Sure, I didn't like the way I looked. It wasn't because I was broke. Yeah, I didn't like asking my grandmother to help me pay my freaking electric bill. It was because I knew what I had to do to be successful. I knew what I had to do to lose weight. I knew what I had to do to grow my businesses and make more money. But it was like there was this invisible force that was preventing me from taking action and taking it quickly and effectively. And when I started looking into the power of the mind and belief systems, I realized that the invisible force was me. It was my own subconscious programming. And it didn't matter how many books I read. It didn't matter how many courses I took or how many podcasts I listened to. I could have all the information, but if I had beliefs that were not aligned with my goals, well, then I wasn't going to take action. I wasn't going to take it quickly and effectively. Once I discovered this whole, like, to me, it was mind blowing. It was like, oh, that makes so much sense. It was like having my foot on the gas and the brake at the same time. You know, you have all the information, you do the affirmations, the visualizations, you watch all the YouTube videos, which is all kind of gas type work. Mm-hmm. But then you have your foot on the brake in the form of self-doubt, low self-worth, other fears, limiting beliefs, etc. And so you just sit there spinning your wheels. Yep. And so once I asked myself, okay, well, how do I change those programs that are not aligned with my goals? The answer was hypnosis for me. And I went to go see a hypnotist. He, you know, quote unquote, waved his magic wand over my mind. I know now it's much more of a neurological, yeah, practical process, but within 6 months, I lost almost 100 pounds. I grew the business that I had at the time. I ended up selling it for a lot of money, mm-hmm, blew up on TikTok. Everything just started to align very quickly once my operating system was aligned with the physical reality that I wanted. So that led me into learning how to do it myself, helping friends and family. Word got around because I was helping them get crazy results and started charging for it. And yeah, here we are with over 1 million followers on social media now, yeah, and helping people all around the world.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke, like, because I know you have a G-Wagon, not to focus on the material things, but we're like, we have things in common and we get along. And I'm like, yeah, because my goal is also a G-Wagon. Like, I have manifestation stories about vehicles, right? So I used to like be in the similar situation as you, you know, minus whatever in the bank. Driving a crappy car. I used to drive like a Hyundai Accent. I had no power steering because it was like 200 bucks a month. That's all I could afford, right? And you kind of realize that you can create, or you can call in kind of what you want using your mind and your emotions and your the physical feelings of already having things. So I figured out how do I say this? I guess create or manifest on purpose. And I remember I manifested a Jeep. That was like my first dream car. So I would sit there every night and I would be just like with my mind visualizing the whole Jeep. It smelled, you know. And then 2 weeks later, someone called me from a car dealership and they're like, hey, do you want to get a new car? And I'm like, you called me to see if I want a new car? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, do you have any Jeeps? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. So this happened twice. So I got the dream car the first time. And then I'm like, okay, I want to upgrade. I want a Mercedes. So I did the same thing. Looking at the thing, here's the little symbol. I visualized the iPad screen because I always wanted to have a car with an iPad. Anyways, then they called me again. Hey, you need a new car? I'm like, do you have any Mercedes GLSs? And like, yes, we do. So it does, like, this thing works. But what I noticed was working is, it wasn't working, was I was missing the key piece, was the subconscious programming. So yeah, I could get on top of it by visualizing really strongly, but I was realizing that there was things besides that were kind of not, they're kind of getting messed up, if that makes sense. So once I figured out it was the subconscious program, that just like changed everything for me, because I've been trying for 7 years to change my beliefs, right? Like I did everything you think of. And then I found Anthony. I'm like, this might be it. Like, right. And then we did a session together and I was like, and I tell everyone that I work with, we don't need more mediums and psychics. You know what we need? We need more people to hypnotize us. We need our hypnotists, because and everyone I do a reading for, I'm like, your only problem is your beliefs. Why don't I have all this money? Why don't I have this success? And I'm like, no, it's your belief. So we need more people like you to change the program so that they can be the person they want to be, that, you know, to get where they want to be, the success that they want to be. But that's the missing piece, I believe, is this.
Yeah, for yeah, sure.
Right? Like,
yeah, because that also aligns with how I kind of see us as a whole being, if you will. Meaning, like, I personally believe that we're a soul and we have a body and a spirit, right? So, like, yeah. And this is just my model of the world, right? So, our body is the physical interface with the physical world, and our spirit is the spiritual interface with the spiritual world. And so, the issue there is that there's different ways to approach the spiritual. There's different ways to approach the physical. There's different ways to approach and change the mental and emotional. And so, most of the time, like you said, it does come down to just mental programs that are running. Mm-hmm. And it's the other analogy I give is like your phone, right? Your phone is the physical hardware. Well, your brain is physical hardware. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you have on your phone? You have an operating system. You know, for people who have the Apple phones, obviously we get those iOS updates routinely. Yeah. Well, your operating system on your brain is your subconscious mind. Well, what's installed on the operating system on your phone? Apps. You know, you have an app that's your calculator, you have an app that's a browser, you have all these different apps that do different things. In the same way, your subconscious operating system has different apps that do different things. You have an app for the anxiety, you have an app for how you tie your shoes, you have an app for, you know, all of your belief systems. And so what you can do with hypnosis is basically be your own little mental hacker, if you will, and you can change that neurological code at a real structural level, by the way, so that literally in less than a couple of minutes, most of the time, you completely change your neurology. You're hacking your neurochemistry. You're creating new neural pathways, which we can talk more about this if you'd like. Mm-hmm. And so then it literally becomes impossible to believe the old things or to have those old fears because you've changed something structurally in the brain.
Yes. And I like, you know, the science part of things. So knowing me, I'm like the least science logic person there is. I'm the inspiration and the spirit and the following the nudges. And I like rarely have any logic, which is why I love my husband, because he's very logical. We balance each other out. But I love to, yes, I definitely want to hear about the science about it, because you were talking about neuroplasty in the group session the other day. And like that fascinates me as well too. But all speaking of apps, you have an app, which I have.
Yeah, we have.
Mind Mod, right? Mind Mod?
Mind okay. Mod, short for mindset modification.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I have your app. So you want to share about your app a little bit? Because I love how, yeah. I don't know, it just stands out because it's like bright green. Like you can find it on your phone real quick.
Yeah, I love it because I had so many people reaching out to work with me, which is a great problem to have.
Yes.
And I wanted to make what I do as accessible as possible to the masses and as affordable as possible. Yeah. So what I did is I created my library of hypnosis audios, and we have it inside the MindMod app. Anything from weight loss to confidence to making more money, it's all on there. Now, there's a caveat to this. It's not that that is not effective, but remember, we have the gas and the brake. A lot of what's on the app in the form of powerful suggestive hypnosis audios in the similar vein as like positive visualization, meditation, things you might listen to on YouTube, that's all kind of gas work. If you have subconscious programs, belief systems, fears that are not aligned with the audio that you're listening to, well, it's most likely not going to stick in the long term. Yeah. This is kind of what I think you were alluding to a little bit before. Is like you can kind of force an outcome. You can manifest anything despite your belief system.
Yes.
But for it to be consistent and to stay a part of your reality in the long term, you have to align the subconscious operating system that's driving all of it anyways. This is why we often see professional athletes, especially here in the States. I think it's something over 50% of professional athletes in like the NBA and football, NFL, they claim bankruptcy within 3 years of retiring. It's because they don't have the operating system around money and the right belief systems around finances. So they get this outcome of financial prosperity forced on them despite their operating system not aligning with it. And so it's fine as long as the money is coming in or as long as they're having an outsized return. But then once that goes away, their brain is like, oh yeah, this is not for us. And then they end up going broke.
Yep.
Right. So that's why it's so important to not just try to force these manifestations, force these outcomes. You want to just let your subconscious mind manifest it for you. It shouldn't be a constant battle or a forcing to kind of achieve abundance.
Yeah. And I was actually two things that you're talking about, the money. So I get a lot of people saying, well, that's not fair. I can't afford it. Or, you know, I don't have the money. I can't travel, these kind of things. And I always, like, without judgment, I'm like, okay, well, let's do something about it. Do something about it. Right. Don't just accept that you don't have any money. Right. For me, it was just a drive. Like, I know that there's more to life than what I currently had in the past. Like, I just knew, my soul knew, my whole and body knew, my embodiment knew. And I'm like, I had to figure this out. I tried for 7 years. I did everything. Right. Cause I knew, but I was motivated because I knew there was something else that I was missing or there was something that was misfiring, like you said, with the computer. And I always want to tell people, well, do something about it. Don't just accept. Right. And then I want to talk about the Blue Jays, which is had nothing to do with what you're talking about, but you're saying like how you work with sports players as well too, right? in hypnosis. So there's a, I'm from Toronto, right? So the Blue Jays, I love the Blue Jays, and we were watching Blue Jays on TV. And there's this one player that my husband loves, and I'm trying to think of his, Davis Schneider, I think his name is. And that guy, okay, that guy has, but I can tell by looking at him, he has so much potential to be an amazing ball player. You can just tell by looking at him that he needs hypnosis. If he was just hypnotized by Anthony, he'd be like one of the best ball players there is, you know? And he's like, well, no, it's because he cut his hair off. I'm like, no, it's not because he cut his hair off or he shaved his mustache. That's not why he's having bad luck now, right? So, like, I feel like the hypnosis can help people who are like that, and just regular people with, that's what they need. You just need to change your programming,
Yeah. Well, that's the
honestly.
thing too, because, a lot of these people that I've worked with who are, let's say, celebrities, actors, they're professional athletes. They are thrust into the spotlight, right? Because they have so much fame and recognition, but they don't have the programming that allows them to feel safe in that scenario. So what I see happen a lot of time, this specifically with athletes, is that they will, of course, subconsciously manifest getting into this situation, but then they won't let themselves achieve true greatness because they don't want it. They like where they're at, and it's safe to be somewhat good at what they do. They've made it to a professional league, but to be the top 0.1%, it's too much of a risk for them because their subconscious mind says it's not safe to be at the top for whatever reason. This is, and for most people, even entrepreneurs and business owners, there's a lack of safety around success because you have to ask yourself, if I'm not as successful as I want to be, it must mean that something about that level of success my subconscious mind has deemed unsafe for me, right? Maybe I have a belief that money is going to make me a different person, or maybe I don't trust myself with money. This was a big thing for me. I would have a lot of money come in and I would push it out seemingly. And one of the programs that I had was I just didn't trust myself to handle money correctly. And so, of course, my subconscious mind is not going to find more opportunities for me to make more money because I don't personally trust myself with it. So once I changed that, I was able to let it in, use it effectively, invest it, and allow it to accumulate. So there's a limitless list of possible programs and fears that could be preventing someone from actually holding on to success or manifesting it in the first place. So the first step of the process is really investigating what is the belief or fear, or what are the beliefs and fears that the individual has running that are misaligned. Then, once you've done the investigation, now you use hypnosis to go in and rewire the brain and the subconscious mind, and then you just get the outcome.
Like, it sounds so easy when you say it. Like, but literally it is. Like, literally I did that one group thing with you, and the next day, like, almost $10,000. And I've gone from the person who, I mean, I do have an issue. I'll tell you my issue here with money too. I feel like everyone, a lot of people who are listening and people that I talk to, probably who you work with as well too, do, and maybe number one thing may be money. And I forget I was going with that. But so like with me personally, I went from where you were talking about, like, minus whatever in the bank, right? That's the old me. I used to do that. And then I worked really hard, manifested, like you said, and then it runs out because you're forcing it, but you need the subconscious programming. But now that I'm doing the hypnosis, I see the difference. Like, there's a huge difference. So it's an easy fix. It's just, you have to just do this one thing, plus take the action and you'll change it. But for me with money, when I start making like I was hitting a glass ceiling. Right, I kept hitting this glass ceiling, and I knew the glass ceiling had to do with my belief. And people who are listening probably can't relate to this. You get to a certain level, and you just can't get past no matter what. So I'll make, say, $10,000 in a day or a week. Five things will come in. Oh, I want a refund. Oh, I want this. Oh, I'm like, oh my God. So I still can see the work that needs to be done, because, you know, I can't keep it. Like you said, I keep it, but then it's like, oh, it's going to go up to this, or someone will come along and say, I want this. That normal,
Yeah.
I'm assuming, till you get it
Yeah,
right.
absolutely. And it's like there's an energetic signature to what we want. And if we are not, this is where I get a little more esoteric with this. Like, there obviously everything is frequency and vibration. If we are not aligned subconsciously and energetically to the outcome, where we're going to constantly feel this restriction. Like I just said before, we can force an outcome, we can manifest anything we want very quickly. But once again, if we're not aligned subconsciously, emotionally, energetically, then that's when you get the refunds. That's when you have the new bills come up, and all of a sudden, a pipe bursts in your house. Like, I do believe there's something kind of supernatural, invisible going on when we are in misalignment with the life that we want.
I need to think about that for a second.
Well, and let's kind of sum this all up into a very simple practical process that anybody listening or watching can kind of follow. Manifestation, like I said before, is the alchemy of clarity or vision, belief, and action. Now, I use clarity and vision kind of synonymously, but that's the first piece. Is like most people say, okay, I want money, right? I want $1 million. That's not enough though. You got to know, okay, well, why do you want $1 million? No inventor invented something without knowing why they were inventing it or what the use case was for it. So you have to look at yourself as someone who's you're inventing a reality. And so there has to be a purpose behind that reality, whether it's a dollar amount, a home, whatever it is. And then you got to go one level deeper. It's not about just what you want, but who do you need to become to have it? This is an identity game. So you have to kind of project yourself in the future. Imagine yourself with $1 million in your bank account. What does that version of you look like? What do they think? What do they feel? What do they believe? And what you do is you create a subconscious audit, if you will. And you see, okay, where am I misaligned now from the person that I need to become in order to manifest this thing? Because everything trickles down from identity. Your habits, your behaviors are always going to be congruent with who you are. If you look at the word habits, by the way, habits, and when I say habits, I mean not just your physical habits, but your emotional habits, your thought patterns, et cetera. The word habits comes from the word habiliments. That word habiliments means garments or clothing. Like horseback riders wear habiliments, nuns wear habits, monks wear habits. Why do I say that? Because it gives you insight into what having your habits means, right? Your habits fit you. Well, who are you? You are your identity. You're the sum total of all your subconscious programming. That means your mental, physical, and emotional habits, your programs, will always be aligned with who you are, right? Your self-image, your identity. Then from there, your habits and your behaviors dictate your outcomes, which means your outcomes are a direct reflection of who you are. So your manifestations will always be congruent with the type of person you're showing up as in the world. And if we go back to this idea that who you are, your identity is the sum total of your subconscious programmings, well, if you want to change your results, you have to change your subconscious programming. You have to change your identity. And so that's where the magic happens. So first getting clear on who it is you need to become, what do you want, why do you want it? You have this audit of the beliefs that you need to get rid of. What are the fears? Do you have low self-worth? Do you have self-doubt? Do you believe that money's hard to come by? Do you believe that money's going to make you a bad person because you were brought up and your parents said that people with money were pretentious and selfish? Like the possibilities are limitless. Then inside of that, you take hypnosis. You walk people through a hypnotic process where you address where those programs first started. You use what we talked about before, neuroplasticity, to change the neural connections at a brain-based level. You hack your neurochemistry, and I'm oversimplifying this, by the way, so that they change at that brain-based level, and now your actions automatically change. Now you just start doing the things you already know you need to do because your habits, emotionally, physically, and mentally, are now aligned with the identity that's matched to the outcome that you want. So it just becomes an effortless feedback cycle of success. This is why I always say when I hypnotize someone, your success becomes inevitable. Not because I'm doing anything like that someone else couldn't do, but because it's like gravity, it just works.
So you mentioned it took you 3 years, right? That you said the other night. It took about 3 years for you. Or how long did you have to do hypnosis with a mentor or another hypnotist before you could start seeing like concrete changes?
Oh yeah, for sure. The first time I did one hypnosis session and lost almost 80 pounds in 6 months. One hypnosis session. So that weight loss journey was 6 months. Here's the thing too. There's a timing to this. Do I think that things can kind of magically appear sometimes? Sure, but I don't think that's the norm. When you look at like weight, I wasn't going to drop 80 pounds overnight. It's not physically possible, you know? And so there is a waiting game to manifestation and success sometimes. There's like divine timing, if you will. It's like ordering food at a restaurant. Right. If I sit down at a table and I order a steak cooked medium, let's say, and then I order it, and then all of a sudden I move tables before it gets to me, well, does that mean my manifestation is not coming or my steak's not coming? No, it's still coming, but you're not there to receive it because you didn't wait. And so sometimes there is a waiting period that needs to happen, which is tough because people are impatient, people have fear, they live in the anxiety. And this is where detaching comes in. And I often find that the most successful people have a level of detachment. So attachment goes down, belief goes up, and that's when you end up manifesting things.
Yeah, I was gonna actually too. So, in what I notice is the manifesting and hypnosis goes together. Like the for me, the more I get hypnotized by you, the quicker I manifest. So I also have that outside of working with you or being hypnotized, is that I can say, and I tell people this all the time, I can say in my head, like say someone, I don't know, cancels a class. They don't want to do the class anymore. And they want their money back. So I'm like, okay, fine, here's your money back. And then I say the next, I said, can I please have that money back? Like I just say it in my head and the next day it comes. Or I go to the grocery store and I'll say, okay, I just spent $300 at the grocery store. Can I please have that money back? Boom. So to me, the more I get my reprogramming of the subconscious, the quicker that happens. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if you notice that as well too, but that's like, I feel like they kind of go together a little bit for me
Oh,
anyway.
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here, and when you detach from the specific how, I do think we need to know how. I'm a big believer in what we call duration, path, and outcome. Our brain, from a practical neurological standpoint, is always operating on this duration, path, and outcome calculation. If we have a breakdown in one of those three elements, we end up feeling anxious, we feel overwhelmed. Think about it. If we don't know where we're going, or we don't know how long something's going to take, or we don't know how we're going to do it, of course, we're going to have confusion, uncertainty, and that's going to breed anxiety, overwhelm, doubt, et cetera. So getting clear on those three things, but also detaching from how. You can have clarity without certainty. There's a little bit of a nuance here. You can know how you might need to do something to get a certain result, but you also can detach from it, meaning you never know what worse luck your bad luck is saving you from, first of all. So something bad could lead to something good. Something good could lead to something bad. So detaching from it and not classifying it as good or bad is the first step. So I think all of that, to sum it up in detachment, is most important. But still having, still mo still staying motivated towards your goals, taking action. And just to touch on that real quick, because a lot of people probably listening to this will be like, well, I manifested this thing from my couch. Okay, great. But I can tell you, we live in a physical world and we are somewhat bound by two things, time and space. And people always say, okay, whatever. I'm like, okay, well, let me prove it to you. You could try slapping yourself in the face and tell me you don't feel it. Of course you feel it, because there's space, there's material, right? And then people say, well, time doesn't exist. I go, okay, maybe at a quantum, spiritual, subconscious level, time doesn't exist. But try staying awake for the next 4 days and tell me you didn't feel the passing of time. Like, of course you did, right? Like, you can't go run
Time's
through
not
the wall
real.
magic. Yeah. So my point is like, you want to leverage all of it. You want to be open to the fact that, yeah, it's going to take some action. It's going to take some spiritual work. It's going to take some subconscious work, but it's the culmination of all of those elements that actually makes it happen faster, right?
There's definitely I called inspired action after I would, but with those little examples about the money at the grocery store or whatever, it just comes back. I don't usually have to do anything. Sometimes I do have to randomly post something, but usually we'll just like the kind of thing, which I think is, I want to share that because I feel like that's possible for people. A lot of people don't believe that they can change or they can become a that person that needs to they need to become in order to have the things that they want. They just accept kind of where they're at. And so that would be a belief, right? They just is the accepting of where they're at, would that just be a belief that they like a subconscious belief that they might have?
Well, I think the underlying belief that's probably most powerful is that, like, everything's always working out for me, right? Like, regardless of where I'm at right now or what's happening in my physical reality, like, I know it's going to work out for me. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take. I can have some clarity on how long I want it to take, but also being open to knowing that. And what, regardless of people's belief systems, as far as like a divine intervention or things like that, I think it what goes back to this whole level of detachment. In fact, I find that the happiest people, most joyful, at peace people that I've ever worked with are the people that detach from the material world altogether. Because if you really look at, let's say, the more esoteric side of manifestation, everybody always says, well, you got to feel it, right? You got to feel it like you have it already. Okay, well, I think the happiest people realize that when you feel it, right, without having it, and you realize you can have the feeling without having the thing, you don't actually need to have the thing if you can feel the feeling already, you know? It's not to say not, it's not to not pursue material success, because I think that material success, like my G-Wagon you mentioned before, it's just a manifestation of the work I've done subconsciously. Now, has it been out of like ego at times? Has it been out of a place of greed at times? Yeah, and those are things I've had to work on spiritually in my own journey. Because yeah, is do I like seeing who's looking at me driving my fancy car? Yeah, and those are things that I've worked on. And you have to be honest with yourself as well to see what is the motivation. Because I don't know if you want to get into this, there is a spiritual side of things, and I always look, the physical is always correlated to the spiritual equivalent, meaning this might be a little high level. I hope people grasp this as I say it. Let's say you want to manifest money, right? Money is the physical currency, okay? If there's a physical currency, there must be a spiritual currency behind it. And everything happens in the mm-hmm. spiritual world before it happens in the physical world. And when I say spiritual and physical, really what I'm saying is physical is visible, material, spiritual is invisible, regardless of like religious beliefs or anything like that.
Yeah.
So the spiritual currency that comes before the physical currency manifestation is trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trust is a spiritual currency. Think about it. You're a business owner. You help people. In order for someone to buy from you, you need them to trust you first. You need to, they need to trust yep. that you are who you say you are, that you can do what you say you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do first is you have to store up this invisible currency of trust that you then exchange for the physical currency or spiritual currency of trust. You exchange for the physical currency of money. Now, the beautiful part about this is you have an exponential return on the trust that you've built up in the form of dollars. So it's not one unit of trust equals one unit of yeah. of a dollar, right?
Right. Yeah.
But this is important because it's not just trust outward. It's also trust inward. If you have self-doubt, low self-worth, you don't mm-hmm. believe you can handle money or you don't believe you deserve to be successful. Well, now you have a breakdown in that spiritual currency of trust with yourself. And so of course you're not going to manifest it in the form of the dollar. Now, the really beautiful thing about the spiritual currency is that we know that the invisible is limitless. Abundance mm-hmm. is limitless. Trust, faith, all of these things that we classify as spiritual currencies and substance is limitless. So if you manifest from the spiritual side first, you're manifesting from a limitless capacity. If you're only focused on manifesting from a physical perspective,
right.
we are limited. The physical body is limited. But this body dies one day. Mm-hmm. Money deteriorates. Cars rust, right? Everything comes to an end physically. So that's why you need to move your focus away from the physical manifestations more towards the spiritual side. And then you just happen to manifest the physical stuff more easily.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Hopefully that made sense. That was really kind of esoteric there.
I know what you're talking about, but we'll see. But that's like the teachings of manifesting, right? Is that you have to, it already exists. You just got to bring it down into mm-hmm. what using these various techniques, right? Because interesting, you talk about like some people, like for example, my husband has the belief that he needs to work very, very hard to get mm-hmm. money, right? Like he's a firefighter, then he has a side job, and then he want to work overtime. And sometimes he gets upset because I'll be lying there and I'm like, I just got this much money. He's like, how did you do that? Like you just, because I'm not lazy or anything, but I know that you don't need to exert yourself and kill yourself and work like 50 hours a week to get money. There is another way. And I figured that out, obviously. Right. Yeah. But it's interesting to see his mindset or his beliefs and his upbringing and how he believes, which a lot of people also believe this, is that you have to work very, very hard to have money. And you have to hold on to it and save every penny. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to Dominican next week with the girls. And he's like, how did you do that? Right. I'm like, I don't know. I just asked. I asked, can I please? He's like, oh my God, like I can't with you. Yeah. Right. So it's cool to see how people have the beliefs are so strongly. And then they can't let go of it too. Like he's like, I don't think he's ever going to change in that regard because it's such a strong belief that you have to work really hard for money.
Well, and there's a reason why it's such a strongly held belief, because there's a nuance that most people don't realize. It's that it's not just a belief that you have to work hard for money.
Yeah.
It's a belief that you have to work hard to deserve the money or deserve the success. Yes. So it's a self-worth. It's a deserving thing. And so that is another layer that people don't consider. And that's why they hold on to it so tightly. Okay. And the other thing too is, you know, the second thing you said you were people saving, right? When people save, right, it's not that it's bad to save, but when you save for like a rainy day, you'll get a rainy day. When you're saving because one day you're going to retire and stop working, you're really saying, okay, I'm going to save and manifest money now out of lack, out of scarcity, out of fear of the future. Mm-hmm. And what you're implying when you do that is like, oh, the faucet of abundance and money is just going to get turned off one day at 60 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
That's limited, right? That's focused on the material world. you need to flip it and be like, okay, I'm going to save, but it's for opportunity. I'm going to save so I can go on the trips. I'm going to save so I can spend it on myself. I can serve others. Less out of saving for rainy days, less out of saving for retirement, and more out of productive or being productive and serving others, serving yourself, and using the money for opportunity.
Okay, well, you just went up a notch in my admiration when you said like two things. Like, because I knew that about my husband, about the deservedness, like that he definitely has that from his childhood experiences. So it can come, it comes from childhood usually, right? So I now I can see him more clearly. I understand that, even though I knew, but you said it out loud, and now I do. The other thing too is like the, I know we're talking about money a lot. It doesn't have to, but like you said, it's limitless. But also, money equals freedom. That's just how it is. Money equals freedom. Exactly. And then the third thing is you said about saving money. I have never been good at saving money, right? I'll get a bunch of money. I'm like, okay, I'm going on a trip, or I'm going to do what I want kind of thing. So I always kind of follow that. But I love that. You're like, well, you're saving for a rainy day. You're going to get a rainy day. So now I don't have to save any money. Thanks, Anthony.
And yeah, and just to verify, like I said, it's not about not saving money. It's about saving money for the right reasons or the right motives.
Yes.
Don't save it for a rainy day. Save it so you can invest in an opportunity. Save it so you can, and not just an opportunity financially, an opportunity to go away and to create experiences and to have that
memories.
Freedom, you know, like, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like the experience, we're here to experience. And so the money gives you the freedom to do the things. And it's, I think it's important that you look back on your life too. Cause I used to be like, I never ever thought, this is, I'll use a silly example. I never, my whole life, I wanted to go to Disney World. This might be a bad example. My whole life, like I need to, I'm never going to get to Disney World. I will never have the money to go there. Everyone's going to Disney World but me. And I remember, I don't know what I did, but at some point my belief changed and I had an opportunity to go, and we got to go, and I was so excited. And I didn't have any money to spend there. Like my mom had to give me $400 to go to the gift shop or whatever, which, cause that's so much money. But now doing the work and the hypnosis, I've gone 4 times. So, but like, you have to look back on your life and be like, okay, I was the person who believed I could never go to Disney. I would never get there in my whole life. Right. And you have to look back at the things you've done and the changes in your mindset or your subconscious. And then you actually get to do it. Now it's like, no big deal. I can, if I want to go to Disney, I'll go next week. Like,
yeah,
that kind of thing, right? So I want to, it's not to brag, like I hear you say, I'm not bragging or being ego. It's like to show people, like, if we can do this, other people can do this, everyone can do this if they choose to do it, right?
Well, and that's the thing, I see so many of my, some of my closest friends, they're just like stuck in a 9-to-5 making $60,000 to $70,000 a year, struggling to go on a vacation when the time comes up. It's just like, that's not, I don't want to be locked into that life. I'd rather risk it all every day, be all in all the time, knowing that I have the ability to create and to manifest and to be of service to the world, which will ultimately get me a return on my investment in the form of dollars in the future. Like, I don't believe the faucet will ever get turned off, and I don't care about work, like working, right? Like, I just do what I love, and I know that it's gonna work out. And that's, it's tough because some people come from a place of scarcity. They were brought up with parents who lived paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. They only saw the parents work 9-to-5 and then complain about money. And so money is bad, right? So, you know, all these different things create belief systems and fears that then influence us now today, right? The example I gave before is like, a lot of people were brought up thinking that money's evil or that it's gonna make you a bad person. Well, now you're talking about identity. And so you tell yourself, I want $1 million now at 30, 40, 50 years old. And that's all fine and dandy because you think it's going to get you your dream home and these vacations, you're going to be able to help your family, et cetera. But deep down, your subconscious mind is like, no, we learned that having money makes us a bad, pretentious, selfish person. And we don't want to be that type of person. So we're going to self-sabotage. We're going to limit our ability to be that successful. And these are all things happening below the threshold of conscious awareness that most people are not aware of by the, on their own. And this is, you can't see your own blind spots. Yeah. And this is not like a pitch to work with me specifically, but I use my own mentors. I go to see my own hypnotist. I hire my own coach. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on people because I know that I can do some of it alone now only because I'm an expert in it. Mm-hmm. But for someone who does not have the education in these modalities, you can speed up the process infinite, like by decades, by actually hiring someone to just do it for you.
Yes.
And like I said, you can't see your own blind spot. So that being said, I encourage anybody listening, look into hypnosis, look into some of these alternative modalities, not just reaching out to me, but like go on YouTube, search for creators that you resonate with. You and I were talking about this before we got on the call.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to like the person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people may not like me when they watch my stuff, and that's okay. They might like a more feminine female type. That's cool. Or they might like someone who's a little older. Like, it's whoever resonates with you is going to be the most effective. First of all, it's like this whole idea of rapport, no liking and trusting. That's the most important part.
Yeah, for sure. Well, definitely, like I've already told you before the call that I was definitely in working with you because I see the results and everything. It's same with stuff that I do too, or other people too, right? It's an investment. People are like, well, I don't want to spend the money. But I'm like, I can see the results very quickly right after I do something with you. So why wouldn't I put that money in and invest in myself? Because I'm always telling people, like, get all the way in, like jump all the way in. I call them jumpers. You know, I love to work with jumpers. They just jump in. They don't ask me any questions. They don't need an interview. They just go, here's my money. And they just know it's that pull, right? It's that connection. It's the person that you're working with. It has to be like that or it won't work ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm super excited, but I want to switch a little bit because I know we're talking about money and hypnosis, but obviously that's one of the reasons why I have you here. But I want to ask you more personal things, not personal things, but like, I want to know, tell me more, because we know your story, right? You tell your story about how you were bullied in high school, you were bullied in school. But I want to know about now, like, what's your like, is that too personal? What's your life like now? Because this is going to sound, and I sent Anthony a really weird email, but I thought it's Anthony. He might be okay with it. And I'm like, because people tell me this all the time. I had a dream about you. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Now I'm sending it to Anthony. I had a dream about Anthony a couple weeks ago that he was on a road trip with his partner. Like, I don't even know if you're married or whatever, but he was on a road trip with his partner. And I got to meet him I met him in real life, but we stopped at a Buc-ee's. So, you know what Buc-ee's is, yeah? Like, but you're from the States. But I didn't know what Buc-ee's was until like, I would say February of this year. So I went to Daytona and everyone's like, oh, you got to go to Buc-ee's. I'm like, what the hell's Buc-ee's, right? Then I go on the Instagram. I'm like, okay, fine. So I went to Buc-ee's in real life and I'm like, oh, it smells like beef and cheese in here. But I love Buc-ee's. Anyways, so in the dream, I met Anthony at Buc-ee's. Like, we're getting gas and Anthony comes up to me. He's like 6 feet tall. I don't even know how tall you are. But you were like so tall. And I was like, and I'm short, right? And I'm like, wow, you're way taller in person. You're like, you're way shorter in person. That was it. That was the gist of the dream. But like when I have dreams like about, that was one of my signs, right? That was like, okay, spirit's trying to tell me something. It's time to work with Anthony and get your shit together. But it was just a funny kind of the way it was. I met you in person at a Buc-ee's of all places in my dream. But because it's funny because people tell me all the time, I had a dream about you. Like, I don't even know you. And I'm like, okay, well, it's got to be a sign because that's not random. You know what I mean? So
Maybe it was just the all-American, you know, Buc-ee's symbolic. Yeah, I'm in America here. But yeah, well, it's funny. I don't know. Yeah, because I am 6'5". I am very tall.
Okay, so I didn't know how tall you were, but you were really tall. Like, I remember looking up and you were in black and I looked up and you're pumping gas or whatever and your partner's there. And I was like, oh, hey. She's like, hey. I'm like, don't mind me. I just wanted to meet Anthony. And you're like, I'm like, whoa, you're really tall.
Yep. So that is accurate. And me and my wife, actually, we've never been to a Buc-ee's. We've talked about it recently because it seems to be a little bit of a viral thing going on now.
All of a sudden.
But it's interesting. But now, you know, you find it. You've committed on your podcast here to work with me. So it's not me holding you accountable.
I'm telling you, I'm in. I'm in. You hold me accountable. I'm in.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk a little bit about what you just referenced as far as like me being bullied, because that shaped a lot of my social media presence. It shaped my trajectory in the past few years here. I shared this with you previously, but for everybody listening, I had a lot of self-doubt, a lot of fear of putting myself out there, constantly thinking to myself, no one wants to hear what I have to say, you know, kind of don't want to be in the limelight. But I knew, see, this is where we had this misalignment. It's like, consciously, I knew to make more money, to grow my business, social media was a no-brainer, right? Had biggest reach, biggest ability to scale impact. So I would go try to record videos on TikTok. This is when I had no followers, right? Mm-hmm. Less than 1,000, let's say.
Yeah.
And then what would happen is it would take me like 3 hours to film a 60-second video because I couldn't articulate myself, constantly stuttering. I'd stop and start the recording. And then once I did have it recorded, I'd hesitate to hit the post button because I was overanalyzing and trying to be a perfectionist. And what I asked myself, I was like, why does this feel so hard? Why do I have so much resistance to posting? And it goes back to what I just said. Mm-hmm. I realized I had a fear of putting myself out there. And so with my work, I knew that I wasn't born with a fear of putting myself out there because the only two fears that we're actually born with are the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling, and those are largely mechanical. Now you can get into a genetic conversation and epigenetics and things like that, sure. But in general, all of these beliefs and fears that we have right now come from when we were children. The things that were done to us, the things that were said to us, the things that we witnessed all form these belief systems. So I figured, I was like, okay, well, if I have this fear of putting myself out there, I got to figure out, where did this first start? That's the first part of the hypnotic process, is finding subconsciously the data, the origin of the data. So what I did is I went back to a time when I was 14 years old. And what I did is I just followed the emotion back. I got into a state of self-hypnosis. I felt that anxiety, that tightness in my chest that comes when I go to try to post on social media. I followed it back. All of a sudden, I'm 14 years old. I'm in high school. I'm at basketball practice. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this is, for boys, at least in the States here, back then, one team would take their shirt off, one team would keep their shirt on, and it would be shirts and skins. It would determine who's on either team. This was the first time I had taken my shirt off in front of other people in high school. And why this is important is because when I was only days old, I had life-saving surgery on my stomach twice. Almost died on the operating table, almost died in recovery, was resuscitated by a nurse. And so I was left with these gnarly scars all across my midsection. Mm. Fast forward to this time in high school at basketball practice, I take my shirt off, I'm exposed, right? And then one of the kids start making fun of me. All of a sudden, I'm the kid with the weird stomach. Why do I look like that? Starting getting questions, start feeling embarrassed and shame. Can't even be myself, can't put myself out there. And you can see very quickly how my unconscious mind says putting yourself out there is bad. Exposing yourself is bad. Being seen is bad. So now, 20 years later, when I go to post on social media, what am I doing? I'm putting myself out there. I'm exposing myself. And my brain's like, nope, we remember this. We can't do it. So once I cleared that up, I changed the neurological perspective on the past. I was able to install some new belief systems and narratives around that memory. Now my brain is like, oh yeah, that was bad back then, but this is not really anything to do with social media. And it allowed me to actually post consistently, articulate myself. And literally in less than a year, I grew from 0 to 1 million followers very rapidly after that.
Yes. Yep. I love, you're so confident. I'm sure you know this, you get this a lot, but you come across very confident. So it's cool to see compared to like your story that you're telling me about your childhood and your high school and that incident. And then now you're like this very confident man, right? And you're just like, one thing that I like about you is you're very authentic. Oh, like, you know, some people are like, hey guys, I'm here to, you're not, right? You're just Anthony, which is one thing I love about you, right? And you come across very confident. And I think one of the first videos I saw you doing, you had your like cord. What did you do? Your charging cord?
Oh, with, yeah, my
as a microphone.
Cord,
I was like, is that what I think it is? But that, like, that caught my eye. I was like, what is this guy doing? And then I started watching all your videos and
Well, that's the thing too. When you align your subconscious program with the outcome you want. So for me, it's like, I want to go viral on social media. At first, I want to have 100,000 followers. That's my first goal.
Yeah.
What's interesting is the subconscious mind starts making you do things and say things and articulate things in a certain way that are aligned with that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to use a charger as a pattern interrupt. Just one day, my brain is like, why don't you try using a charger as a pattern? And sure enough, it built engagement.
Yeah.
Then the next time I'd be like, why don't you say this as your hook? And this all stuff that was just like, I don't want to say downloaded, but maybe it was. But it was just simply because now my subconscious mind felt safe with me being exposed, with me being, you know, TikTok famous, if you will. And that's the thing you have to ask yourself, because there are, you know, I've been recognized in public. And once again, that's not to brag, but that could trigger somebody. You got to worry about whether or not you're picking your nose in public, because people might notice who you are. The other day I had, I was live on TikTok and, I usually get like 300, 400, 500 people. That's neither here nor there. But then all of a sudden someone's in the chat and they're like, hey, do you eat at such and such a place and order this type of food? And I was like, that's weird. So now I have someone relatively local to me. Like, it's like, you know, so all those are things that can seem unsafe to the subconscious mind and make you self-sabotage your efforts. You know, so those are all the things you gotta categorically look through one by one and make sure there's no internal resistance to it.
Right. Okay. So, and are you in New York? You said, where are you? Where do you live?
I'm in New York. I'm about an hour north of the city. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is off topic, but I'm noticing I have a lot of clients from New Jersey and New York, and they're very unhappy people.
I'm
Yeah,
like, we have a lot of
you
stressed out,
need Anthony, you
overwhelmed.
need a hypnosis. They're so miserable, and they're like, they're all stuck. They literally come to me and they're like, I'm stuck. My marriage is falling apart. I can't make any money. I hate my job. And I'm like, what's going on with Jersey and New York? Like, you guys are so upset. I don't understand.
I mean, it is like the armpit of America here where we are. No, but no, in all seriousness, I think it's a lot of high-paced
Yeah, I
living
can imagine.
that occurs, especially here closer to the city, and it is very stressful. And I find myself even, I'm like, sometimes I got to take a step back, and this is where I've detached. I mean, for the past month, I haven't really posted anything on social media because I just wasn't feeling it.
Done it.
Not because, and some people may say, well, that's just your subconscious program. I'm like, no, I've been doing this for 3 years now. I'm in tune with my body and my emotions. So if I don't feel, why would I put out content that's not energetically aligned with the outcome that I want? And so I just have the freedom now to kind of take some time off if I need to.
See, I call that spirit led. You call it like you just don't feel like it or whatever. I call that spirit led. So I did the same thing, which I didn't know we had in common. Like, if I don't feel like posting a video, I'm not going to. But if I'm like, okay, put this offer out now, it's like a go. And it's like a week or two where I'm like, I don't feel like doing anything on there, right? But yeah, I love that. And it's definitely not the subconscious for that particular
Well, it
example.
can be, and so this is where it's tough, and people like you and me who do this sort of work day in and day out, we can kind of decipher very quickly with our discernment whether it's spiritual, emotional, mental, whatever. Remember, there is a mental component, there's a physical component, and there's a spiritual component, and they're not all the same, right? Just like you can't, you can medicate a mental issue sometimes. Not saying it's the right way, but you can medicate a mental issue. Doesn't mean you can medicate a spiritual issue. Right. And so there's different ways to approach these things. And this is why it is so important to work with somebody who's been there, done the thing, gotten the t-shirt, because I can very quickly see whether something's spiritual, see whether it's something subconscious. And sure, I don't get it right. I'm not perfect with myself all the time, but I can tell based on historical patterns and data from my past. Am I having resistance subconsciously out of fear, or is this genuinely out of like a spiritual, emotional reset, recharge sort of thing?
And I have one more silly random question for you. When you're on TikTok and doing lives or posting your content, I mean, it's different than mine, but do you ever have people who are like really mean to you? Like, does the bullying ever come back? And
Oh yeah, of course.
then trigger
I don't
you?
get triggered. No, I don't get triggered by it anymore. I'm just because I've put in so many repetitions. Like part of this is like the repetitions that you put in. And I've gotten so many, like literally thousands of DMs and comments that people are like, Anthony, you've helped me change my life. And just from I mean, I can't tell you how many people have said, Anthony, I've manifested $10,000, $50,000 just from after watching this one video, or my anxiety's been gone for whatever it is. And it's given me so much confidence that when someone does say something silly, I'm like, whatever. And actually, on that note, I'm really not in my comments too much from that perspective. Like I take very little stock in just the words on a screen, because that's a slippery slope to go down. I don't want to trigger any old programming or stuff that doesn't necessarily need to happen.
That's what my husband says. Why do you read the comments? I'm like, well, when you say that, now I really want to read the comments. Like, it gave me anxiety because I got to make sure no one's bullying me. That's what I say. Like, I have to go on there and check, okay, who's saying something mean to me today instead of focusing on the positive things, right? But that's something that obviously it's a work in progress.
Well, and that's the thing too, they say about like when you get bullied, if you get triggered, like you have to believe it at some level to be triggered. Like if I said, the example is like, Jen, I hate your purple hair. Like you would just probably laugh because it's obviously not true. Like if someone called me short, I'm 6'5", I just laugh. But if someone says something that you get triggered by, at some level, subconsciously, you probably believe it. And then it's actually an opportunity to address it.
Well, good thing I'm working with you then.
Yeah, I'm excited because I know that you have so much potential because you have a lot of the self-awareness already. You've already been successful in a lot of ways. The next level to success is the subconscious operating system. This is why I get a lot of people at a super high level in these different industries where they've already achieved like say top 5% in their industry, but the difference between the top 5% and the top 1% is bigger subconsciously than the lower 10% to where they are at the 5%, if that makes sense, right? So most people through brute force and like practical means and strategy can get to the top 5%. When you want to get to that next level of success that most people don't or will not experience, it's all between the ears, right? And so that's where hypnosis and these
I love
processes come
that.
in.
It's all between the ears. It's like so easy. Like people make things so complicated. I'm like, it's just so easy. Just get hypnotized. Literally, that's the only thing stopping people from getting to where they want to be. So
Well, people
yeah.
don't realize the cost either, right? It's like,
Yeah.
let me give you an example of a real-world monetary cost of a client. There was a guy from Dubai. He was I don't know if he did, was a crypto or maybe Forex. He was a trader of some sort. When he came to me, I said, okay, I kind of get an overall temperature of like their financial status to see where they're at, what are their financial goals, et cetera. And he had told me that he was profiting $1 million a month. $1 million a month.
Oh
Way
my
more
God.
than I make, by the way.
Oh my God.
Right? And he had said to me for the past 6 months, he had not been trading because he had some random fear that came up. He's like, I don't know anything. I can't pull the trigger. He kept saying, I can't pull the trigger on these trades. And I said, wow, this guy has cost himself literally $6 million by having this fear.
Yeah, okay.
And I returned late that time. So he would have paid me anything. And he ended up paying me a lot of money for this.
Yeah, I bet.
But we did a few sessions. And what's interesting is I knew once again that that program didn't come out of nowhere. It got triggered based on something that happened in the past. And it's interesting, this word trigger, because what did he say to me? He said, Anthony, every time I get on the computer, I feel like I can't pull the trigger on these trades. And so the memory that we went back to was a time when he was 9 years old. He was playing with one of his dad's guns. He accidentally pulled the trigger and he shot his brother in the leg.
Oh my God.
So nothing related to money. It was literally
No.
related to pulling the trigger.
Pulling the
And
trigger.
because in trading, he equated actually executing on the trade as pulling the trigger,
Wow.
it triggered the old
Yeah.
memory and the resulting,
Oh
pain,
my
emotional
God.
pain, et cetera, that came from it. Once we clear that up and disconnected that moment of shooting his brother with trading, his brain's like, oh, it's safe to pull the trigger with trading because it has nothing to do with
Okay.
actually firing a gun. So
Wow.
that's the cost, though. People don't realize, like, by not taking action, by not working on yourself,
Nope.
you are literally pickpocketing your future self. Like, you're bleeding, clout, you're bleeding cash, you're bleeding confidence from the future by not doing the deep inner work today.
Nope. Yeah, not everyone wants to do the work, like you said. Like I'm noticing that a lot. There was a divide. Maybe a year ago, I saw a divide. People were going to do the work, and people were going to keep on doing what they were doing. Right, those are the people who are very unhappy, people from Jersey, poor Jersey people. I want to help them, but yeah, it's just simple. It's a simple fix, right? But anyways, I'm so grateful that you said yes to coming on the podcast. Honestly,
Yeah,
I
no,
love like,
I'm glad to be here.
yeah, hanging out with you. I've told everyone that I work with, all my private students. I'm like, we're going to your is it Tuesday nights or Thursday nights? You do that group, the group hypnosis
Tuesday night,
Tuesday
Tuesday
night.
night. Yep.
I've told them like, where's the link? Where's the link? We want to go see Anthony. So I'm going to give all my
Yeah.
students the link too. But if anyone else wants to work with you, like I was on your website. So if anybody wants to work with you or the group sessions, anything like that, your app, where can they all find that?
So they can find that. Actually, it's a school community that we have. It's school.com/mindmod, free to join. MindMod is also the name of the app on Apple Store and Google Play Store. It gives you access inside the app to the community. And then we do free live calls every Tuesday night as my way of kind of giving back to the community. And then also on TikTok and Instagram, it's just at Anthony Sereno or at the Anthony Sereno for Instagram. By the way, is it a group program with your students?
No, we do. I do. I have a school and then I do live classes, but this is like I have private mentorship clients. So it's just individuals. And then once in a while we'll get all together, but I don't have a group of mentoring. I just have a school of that.
I was gonna say maybe we should make a little scarcity here and I'll just do it for you. You get your pre so people don't have to show up necessarily to mine. We'll do a special one
Oh,
for
wow.
you and for
They would
your
freak
group.
out. That would be
Yeah.
awesome. Okay. I'm going to tell them. They're going to freak out. It's like, where's the link?
That means people listening to this have to sign up to work with you
That's right. Oh, there
to
you
get that
go.
special class. Yeah.
My 21 private mentoring students and counting. And the day after I went to your group thing, I asked another person signed up.
Oh, awesome.
Like it's just like it was like a how long was that? Maybe your 20 minutes, the hypnosis.
Yeah.
And like I could feel, I'm like, oh, this is gonna change things. I could just tell. It's like the coolest feeling. So I highly recommend working with Anthony. Go watch his TikToks. His in your Instagram too. Love all your stuff. Of course, you know that. Yeah. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. Great. So
Appreciate it.
exciting.
And actually, I will give you one more plug, a selfish plug here, because I know a lot of people were probably left with more questions than they had coming into this about manifestation, subconscious reprogramming. I do have my 9-day Master Manifestor course, which is on my website. It's theanthonysorino.com. Okay. That walks you A to Z through the whole hypnotic process, how to hypnotize yourself, how to do my mindset modification process, which is actually how to actually address the memories and moments where you learned all these beliefs and fears, how to rewire your own mind, and then some other hypnotic techniques to solidify the change. And also, when you get the 9-day Master Manifestor, you also get my mindset modification course, which is like a deep neurological dive into self-hypnosis and things like that. So I encourage people to get that because it's a small price to pay and the results that people are getting are phenomenal. So with that, Jen, I appreciate you having me on because this was a lot of fun.
It's worth it, man. It's worth it. You're like, I don't have any money. Well, get hypnotized, get the money, and then go work with Anthony. Yeah. It's completely worth it. Like, instant changes, even just doing one. So again, thank you so much for being here. It's an honor to have you on here. And I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Yes. So much fun. Thanks again.
Okay. Thanks.